Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. You can get a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I can feel Michael's eyes boring into the side of my head now. Just there, chomping at the bit, wanting to do his bit. What? Go on then.
Will's probably convincing.
Yep.
All your negligences.
Yep.
Your commercial disputes, your residential disputes, all sorted.
Professional negligences. Is that your favourite this week?
Yep.
Mentioned that over on Propaganda, didn't we? Which is well worth checking out. You can get Propaganda Extra as well. Propaganda was ridiculous this week because we beat Wolves. We went for about an hour and 7 minutes when it was edited down.
Yeah, and then I think Extra.
It's another 40 minutes. So look out for that in your feed, video and extra podcast if you're a TSB Plus member. If you're not, you want to try it out for size, have a look at thesquareball.net/plus.
Want to try on some of these t-shirts for size? Oh, these are available too, you know.
What's that in front of you there, Michael?
What, this range of mugs?
Are you like this at home with your kids and your wife?
I'm the opposite. I'm trying to prevent them buying stuff at home.
He doesn't speak to them. He just comes here and sells stuff.
This is the this is just my little break from trying not to spend money, trying to get other people to.
All available on the website. Rob's here as well. Hello, Rob. You're right.
Hello there. I'm all right.
Been all right, hasn't it? This week. It's felt much happier.
Quiet weekend, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah.
A normal club, as you said. As you said.
Do you regret those words in the build up to the Wolves game?
Do you know what? I mean, I'm not bothered or anything. But if you go back to the Wolves preview, to I think it's like 15 minutes 10 seconds. I called it was going to be a repeat of the madness, so I don't know what people are on about.
You're into Brentford territory there, aren't you?
Very selective.
This is a Square Ball podcast. You go about the 32-minute mark, and they're talking about it's quite disrespectful.
But I love the banter, of course.
But it's not funny, and it's not factual, so it's not funny, because it's actually not true. But anyway.
Doesn't the world seem like it's on its correct axis this week, just because we've won and we're all pathetic?
Just feels lighter. You can just relax, can't you? Don't even have to think about it. And then it's the photo of Luke Ayling running off and celebrating with all the other players behind him and Willie Nonto. So grinning and Firpo grinning. I just can't stop thinking about it, basically. Mm-hmm.
We've seen the first kit leaks this week. 40 Headlines, always reliable for stuff like this. Part one of the show, by the way, is the latest Leeds United news. We've seen kit leaks for next season. If the rumours are to be believed, I reckon they must be getting people who are leaking details from whatever Far Eastern sweatshop they're getting manufactured in.
A well, respectable factory.
I'm sure the conditions are great. This looks, if the rumours are to be believed, like best Adidas kit by some distance.
Yeah, I love it. So
it's got the alternative blue, yellow, blue stripes on the shoulder, so says the rumour.
Adidas, which is something I wish they'd done on our first kit in the Premier League. I thought that could have done with a bit of yellow on.
It was. I didn't mind that, because I was thinking in my head about ranking them.
The first 2 years could have done with it, because the first one was all blue, the second one was all yellow, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the piss snow yellow.
I was going to say, this one, crucially, the right blue and the right yellow, rather than a highlighter pen.
Yeah, so it's all the right colours from the badge. Adidas have obviously dispensed with the word Adidas under their trefoil logo now, although it's not the trefoil logo, it's the three bars. And the interesting bit is the what looks to be a repeating peacock pattern in the fabric, which I'm all for, if this turns out to be the shirt. And if they're doing a away shirt that's got the peacock pattern on it, I think that'll look ace.
We did hear rumours of a peacock pattern.
Yeah, we were tipped off about
a year ago,
but I didn't. Maybe we were a year ahead of the curve. That's how much we are on the fashion curve. A full year ahead of all the trends.
Yeah, or we didn't listen properly when someone told us. Is the other thing that's more likely to have
on
happened.
On this shirt, the word Zbotop is missing. I would like the word Zbotop to be missing from the shirt going forward. I think a shirt becomes an easier sell with a better sponsor on it.
Great lads at Astonish.
They have done a good job, haven't they? On your on the training wear.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. A company that's not made up would be my first port of call.
I mean, I was going to say they should have top lads on it, but I suppose that's not an actual company either.
So yeah, I'm all for this shirt. It looks like an absolute doozy if this is correct.
It is nice. And we should say Footy Headlines, which is where this leak has come from, are generally quite reliable on this. It's kind of based on a template of Sweden's away shirt, which that has the yellow and blue on the neck and also on the trim of the sleeve, which would, I think that would be a nice addition. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a nice shirt.
Even, I think the Sweden stuff's always been there taunting us, hasn't it? Well, we've had Adidas because they've always had better stuff and always in Leeds colours. And then we've always had, it's like, why have you done it in bright orange? We've got, why is it like a minty green, this stuff? Give us the stuff we actually want.
It was suggested to me, I can't remember who mentioned this, but there was a possibility that, you know, the shirt we've got this season, there was talk of the highlighter yellow on that being orange, that somebody, naming no names, might have fancied, because I think Real Madrid have kind of had that combination of colours, haven't they? So you can imagine somebody looking at the Real Madrid kits and going, give me that one.
That's what Don Revie did, wasn't it?
But yeah, but I don't know if he put orange on the neckline, did he? It was just plain all white. Although we did have the orange kit, didn't we, for a game or two at some point in the 60s or 70s. But yeah, good work if they pull this one off.
Yeah, I approve wholeheartedly.
It'd look good in the Premier League, wouldn't it, that one?
Hopefully.
Like it'd be really annoying if we got like the best Adidas kit we've had since we went with them and we were playing against chumps in the Championship.
Yeah, it deserves better than Barnsley on a Tuesday night, doesn't it?
Well, we've got a team full of internationals now, haven't we? So we're staying up, we know that. Anyway, now we're basically staying up because we've beaten Wolves, we're 14th. Stop the count and all
well,
that.
Well, we know, I mean, reassuringly, we know now, having listened to the Wolves fans, that they are going down because of the
conspiracy.
The conspiracy.
Although, we should say, the red card for, was it Nunes who was on the bench, has been overturned. Is that...
That's what you're they're throwing it to them to
giving
me,
them that
to
back
throw
to...
it off the scent.
Right.
Throw everyone off the scent.
It's clever.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's kind of deep state stuff. It's the way it works. It's like how you have pressure groups will sometimes fund, even if it's a sort of a far right group, they'll occasionally fund things on the far left to make it, to kind of create division and stuff. It's just stuff like that.
That's what you do.
You sound like a man who's watched a lot of YouTube here, Mike.
I've been watching some Adam Curtis stuff. It's very confusing.
Anyway, it's been a nice week for healing, hasn't it? We've all felt happy. We've all felt better. Rasmus has been included in the Denmark fold. He's been folded back into that squad after being left out.
Yeah, that was nice. I was glad to see him get back in.
It's mad what a goal can do, isn't it? Because, I mean, I was quite sick of Rasmus for a long time and he scored a goal. I thought, oh, I love him, actually. He's great. I love that.
Bless him. He's had to overcome so much.
Yeah, I love how happy everyone was for him at the weekend. Like, well done, Rasmus.
So
never doubted you.
Aren't we so fickle?
On the conspiracy stuff, by the way, about the referees, a refereeing insider pointed this out to me, that Salisbury is the son of the one who sent off Max Gradle in the Bristol game.
Generational.
The whole family of them.
Wow.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
I don't know why it makes you think.
Just some stuff.
Well, his dad was trying not to help out. It's a bit like the Phillips thing. You've got a dad who's anti-Leeds, a son who's pro-Leeds.
You mean the co-commentator? This is Dave Phillips.
Dave Phillips' son, yeah.
The co-commentator on the worldwide Premier League feed for the Wolves game, in case you missed it. It's all explained on propaganda.
Everyone knows who he is by now. He's a big deal.
Well, there may be people going, are you talking about Dave Benson Phillips again?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Captain Mark Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips sent off Max Gradle. Is that what we're saying?
Let's see if he's got a son.
Who, Dave Benson
Phillips? Dave Benson Phillips, yeah.
While you do that, Rob and I will talk about Roy Hodgson because we're all feeling happier. We're now safe from relegation. I mean, put the season tickets up by 20%. Why not? That's how happy everyone's feeling this week, isn't it?
Yeah, don't do that. Just to be clear, in case Angus is listening, we're only joking.
Ten's enough. Crystal Palace have put Roy Hodgson back in charge. Are they absolutely mad?
It's good fun, isn't it? It's so predictable as well, because I predicted it. I'll just say this, since everyone's, again, criticising my normal prediction. But in last week's Daily Email, when there was rumours of Palace sacking Vieira, there was reports that they were going to look at Vincent Kompany and Michael Carrick to replace him. And as I pointed out in the Daily Email, they're both chasing promotion, so it would be very strange for them to swap.
I mean, Burnley are basically up now.
Exactly, yeah. So why would you bother going to a bunch of wasters?
Just wait until January when you get fired for being bottom.
Yeah. Mm. And I said this is all going to end with them hiring Roy Hodgson, which they have done, which is incredible because Steve Parish made such a big play of we're going to hire a progressive manager to replace Hodgson because he was, you know, getting a bit old now. And he's just shat the bed and gone back to the old guy who he's stayed mates with, even though I think Hodgson was on Sky or BT as a pundit recently saying, oh, well, you know, Palace's problem this year is they can't score goals. And they had that problem under my management. And Parrish has heard that and gone, okay, cool. Do you want to have another go?
He's the guy for me.
I mean, they're running Palace a bit like a primary school. You know, there's always like an old retired teacher who'd be brought back in just to cover while someone was on maternity leave or someone was sick or whatever. There was always someone who was inexplicably old when you were at primary school, just still knocking about, even though they seemed older than your gran. I mean, they haven't won this year, so maybe they did need to sack him. There is an argument to say they should have sacked him. But yeah, I think you can judge probably by the reaction of the Palace fans. They should probably not brought Hodgson back.
No.
And I'd completely forgotten until the other week when I think you mentioned it, Rob, that he was at Watford last year and just just wasn't asked.
That was my immediate thought. That was my immediate thought because it was Hodgson's Watford that we beat 3-0, wasn't it? And they just sort of collapsed when we got that first goal. They just completely collapsed.
And he'd have just been smiling his way through it. There's a Watford player who, I think it must have been after Hodgson left at the end of the season, who sort of said his methods have just really outdated now. And it's interesting that Palace have gone for like the reboot of signing young players and stuff like that. And then they've just gone back to Hodgson and his outdated methods. I'm not sure how well they're going to resonate with their squad.
Here's a thought experiment for you. What would you think if Palace had put in Alfred Schroeder? Would you have said that makes sense?
Not really.
Because we would have gone, oh, it's former former Ajax coach. All right, he didn't have a great time of it at Ajax, but he was all right at Bruges. Perhaps he'll do a decent job. He'll probably have enough in him to keep him up. Would you have thought that?
Maybe, but only because I would have not been interested enough to read the opinions of Ajax fans.
Yeah.
Had I done that, I would have probably said, oh, good, they're going down now.
I wonder if Palace fans would have put a poll out on Twitter about it or something, just to gauge the temperature.
I mean, I was kind of hoping they'd get Marsh, as I was hoping Southampton were going to get Marsh. Mm. But never mind. Maybe he'll turn up somewhere else.
Yeah, Roy Hodgson, he's not known for his sort of dynamic attacking football that's going to score his way out of trouble, is it? It'll be interesting to see how they go from here.
I look forward to him turning up and trying to find Gary Cahill somewhere at the training ground, only to find he's left. I think, is he left? He has left.
I think Rafinha had to
retire after what Rafinha did to him, I think.
Imagine if Roy Hodgson had been put in at Leeds.
God.
Imagine if that had happened. That's what I was thinking about.
He wouldn't have taken it. It's too far to travel.
It could use his discount. No, his pension's discount. No, because my brain thought, well, they probably would. We'd have looked at Schroeder and thought, oh, that's probably a quite sensible move by Palace. And then you look at this and you go, what are you doing? And I immediately transplanted that idea to Leeds because essentially Schroeder was hounded out of town. And then if they'd gone, right, bringing in Roy Hodgson, how would you have felt?
Not very pleased.
No.
I think with Hodgson the first time at Palace, without knowing the ins and outs of it, they were delighted when he left, from what I could gather. But I feel like because he was local and an old man, no one ever felt that they could shout at him and tell him to fuck off in the way that you normally do when you want a manager out. And they were sort of all right. Like they'd finish lower mid-table, which was acceptable. But basically everyone hated watching it.
Well, the thing with Hodgson at Palace previously is that they ended every season terribly as well, which again bodes well for this season.
Yeah, well, more of the same. I did look, they're according to the bookies, they have a 16% chance of going down. Which I imagine if you're a Palace fan, it feels more than that at the moment because you've not won this year. And momentum in the relegation battle is weird, isn't it? Because we win one game and we're like, staying up, lovely stuff. Yeah, whereas you look at, you know, Wolves had a bit of momentum when Polo Neckman took over and then it feels like they've lost that now and have descended into a strange madness. So yeah.
Which they should...
It'll be interesting to see.
Wolves should recover that though, shouldn't they?
They're not.
Because they've got a good enough squad to get out of it. It's interesting, out of all the teams down there, well, it's my mates at Project538.com have Palace at 10% chance of going down, having run tens of thousands of simulations of the season. We are at 17%.
Mm.
They've got us down for finishing on 39 points and escaping relegation by 4.
Okay. Palace do, in fairness, have an easy end to the season. Looking at it, they play Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, Everton, Wolves, West Ham, Spurs, Bournemouth, Fulham, Forest.
I mean, the problem is
it's a very soft finish.
Like we said before, but if you do start to drop points in those fixtures, they're all 6 pointers, aren't they? We could do with them drawing all those games, really.
I think that is possibly what Hodgson's been brought in for, to just draw all of those games.
Yeah.
That'll that'll probably keep him up, won't it?
Absolutely stink it out.
Yeah, exactly. But it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Would you take a 39-point finish for us now and staying up by 4 points?
Is that part of... Well, I'll take staying up however we stay up.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're offered it now and you said it's going to be fraught until pretty much the final week or two of the season, there'll be a 4-point gap.
But it won't be fraught, though, because you just told me we're getting 39 points and staying up. Yeah, but, lovely stuff.
But they reckon it'll be Southampton bottom on 33, Forest on 35, and then Bournemouth slightly better than them on goal difference, also on 35.
Let's just stay up.
Everton 36.
But let's not make it difficult for ourselves.
Just keep winning games?
We don't need to do it. Well, the Palace Forest doubleheader in that week, that is a perfect opportunity to just completely move away from it. I suspect we won't, because evidence points was still not being very good.
Mm.
It's going to go down to the wire, isn't it, again? Mm. I do think we'll stay up, but I think there's going to be a lot of panic still to come. I've just accepted it.
A pitch invasion on the last day.
Well, there's a
Conte swinging punches at his own players.
Well, I was going to say there is a tantalising prospect, which we touched on in propaganda, of Ryan Mason being back there in charge. Because we beat them, didn't we, when Ryan Mason was in charge? Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah. The first season in the Premier League.
So you think maybe, have we got enough in us? Are they on the beach by that point? Because it's not a very happy place, is it?
No.
So either you've got Conte who's in there who's miserable, or Ryan Mason.
Bless him.
And Leeds having, Leeds having to fight for something on the final day and them not being asked.
Since we last faced Ryan Mason, though, he's spent time with Jake Humphrey, so maybe some of that greatness will have rubbed off on him, because he's been on his high performance podcast, hasn't he? Presumably not talking about his managerial career, which was quite shit. But, you know, well done, Ryan.
Hey, there's a redemption arc for everyone. Junior Firpo proves it. He's done that interview this week, hasn't he, with Leeds Live. And he's been talking up our strengths. We're compact in the way we look. We don't do that high intensity running all the time or this pressing all the time.
I really like how much Leeds are putting Firpo up in front of the press now. He's always on LUTV. He's done a Leeds Live interview. I think he was in there last week as well. And he's like, oh, you like him now, don't you? Go on. You like this guy, especially when we were sort of struggling a bit still. It was like, just send Junior out. They're not angry with him anymore.
But the dilemma with Firpo was always that he seemed like a really nice guy from the get-go. I really warmed to him immediately, just not on the football pitch. I struggled with that.
Well, I hope you're apologising to him now.
I never booed him.
It's all part of the thing, isn't it? You've got to be upset that people were ever not pleased with his performances, which were objectively terrible for 18 months or so. But he's actually had a run of games now as well. I think that is making a difference. I think the structure seems to suit him better, but we'd looked at it before. I think he'd only ever managed 6 consecutive games before, and now he's on a run of, what, 7 or 8? So he's managed to break beyond that.
Yeah. He's broken that thing through the glass ceiling.
Yeah, of just being constantly not very good, injured, back in the team, not very good. Well, maybe he's getting a bit better, injured again and back out. So, yeah, let's just hope he can continue.
It's because he's stopped eating gluten. He revealed to Leeds Live last week, I think it was. That's the big change to his diet, which he's not a celiac, so he doesn't need to have done it. But he says he's suddenly fit and playing the best football for a while. So, yeah, stop eating bread and drinking lager.
Rodrigo turning up with his trolley full of donuts. Oh, sorry, Junior.
So when I turned my ankle the other week, I should have just not eaten bread before going out on that walk. And that would have fixed it.
That would have fixed it, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Rodrigo, he is proof positive that it just does sometimes take time to find your thing, doesn't it? Have you become more sympathetic to like his situation and the broader sort of makeup of the squad, the feeling of the squad since we got promoted, like in terms of Bielsa's style of football being so unique? And then you could actually say the same of Marsh to a certain extent, that maybe it never quite suited certain players. And now we're just doing some ordinary stuff. Now we're normal, as Rob said, that these players kind of find their groove. Like maybe Rodrigo's been asked to do less. Just stand up there, and when the ball comes to you, kick it hard in the goal, as you would say, Michael.
Oh, dink it in the goal. It was a lovely little dink.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's always seemed like he's been able to finish. He's probably been the best finisher since he's been at the club. It's just that we were asking him to play as a number 10 for some of it and do loads of running around. And when he dropped into midfield, he'd take too long on it and he'd give it away. And the press wasn't quite up to Bamford's level. So overall, you just thought, well, what's his job here?
I feel really guilty because I'm still a bit unsympathetic towards Rodrigo, I must admit. Because I was looking back recently, I saw that Marsh, when he first came in, was saying, well, Rodrigo's not actually number 9. He's kind of a second striker. And there was always a sense of, what does he want? But he's scoring goals, so well done, Rodrigo. Just keep it going. And I will say, actually, because I thought the first half of the season when he was scoring, he was still playing quite badly, and there were games we were watching, we've been, oh God, like, what does he actually do? But then I think since the World Cup break, he has come back and generally looked like a bit of a leader in the team. And I think fair play to him for that.
And I mean, we mentioned early in the season, even though when he wasn't playing well, I know he's not on track for this anymore because he's been out injured for some of it, but at one point he was on track for 20 goals. And we were saying, if you've got a 20 goal a season striker, you basically don't go down.
I think because 15. In the Premier League, 15 goals is a lot of goals.
Yeah, it's more or less impossible to go down if someone scores that many goals in your team because you get 20 points, as you said. But you know,
you need to stop mocking me on this because it's tracking.
No, it's let's not get into it.
It does. Have you seen the goals to point in the Premier League?
Yeah, but you can track that because you're doing goals to points. You could also track.
You can track
goals to games.
Correlation does not signify causation. I'm just saying, but it does track. The suggestion is the more you score, the more points you're likely to get, which seems
this is brand new information.
No, but it seems like a very basic method. But you could lose your games, certain games 5-0. If you're defensively weak, you're obviously going to go down. But if you are still scoring plenty, you give yourself a chance. It's interesting how it tracks. And it's not my stat anyway. It's Nick Harris's at Sporting Intel. Take it up with him, Normanton.
It's just something to beat you with, isn't it? So, going to the Firpo interview as well, he did touch on Jesse's methods as well, didn't we? And as we've said for weeks, the most stressed person in there was Jesse. He just says it's more relaxed now. He'd play without anybody shouting or screaming at you, is what he described.
It's like... Javi said in his presser the other week,
describing Michael's home life.
He was asked, like, how are you so calm? And he's like, well, I'm not calm. I'm really stressed inside. But to help my players, it's no use just ranting and raving at them and panicking. I just have to act calm and hopefully they will feel calm.
It does go back to what we were saying about, like, when Marsh was doing all that kind of performative stuff on the touchline, you know, kicking water bottles and being theatrical and stuff. And you wonder what sort of a bearing that has on the players if they can see that out of the corner of their eye.
Mm.
Well, a guy who doesn't seem like he's in control.
You saw it with Lopetegui at the weekend, didn't he? He was just moaning all game. You think, well, why don't you just like manage your football team? Mm. It might help them out a little bit. And I like Javi. I must admit, I like the cut of his jib.
Mm. Understated. Mateus Bogus off to LA.
Mm.
Nice life.
How long go play with Clicky in the MLS?
Yep.
And Lewis O'Brien, if that's the thing he wants to do. Yeah. Yeah, he's finally managed.
Clicky
to escape,
got himself a couple of assists, didn't he, Clicky, over the weekend?
Oh, I didn't see, actually. Mm.
I believe so, yeah.
He was kind of a big hope for us, wasn't he, at one point, Bogus? I think
he was the Polish Messi, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think Click was saying, oh, he's going to be much better than me. And
he had,
just being modest.
He had a bad injury at Ibiza last season. And he's got, I really admire, if I was a football player, I would want Mateus Bogus' career. Live in Ibiza for 2 years, and now he's going to LA. That is the life.
The football is sort of secondary to the life, isn't it?
Yeah, like, absolutely. I don't want to have to work really hard. I just want the easy life, quite frankly.
Dead warm here. I don't want to run around.
Yeah, you compare it to poor old Ryan Edmondson or someone who was alongside him in that. Where was he sent out to? Fleetwood. Yeah, alone at Fleetwood and then to Carlisle.
Like, go over there and stand by the sea.
Yeah. Or Alfie McAlmont sent to Oldham and
they were all in
Salford,
the northwest, weren't they? And then there was Mateus Bogus posting photos.
Hey, I want a boat, Dickens.
A boat in a beef.
In privilege, like, reaching for the lasers. Speaking of the 21s, they won against Sunderland at Elland Road 3-1. Three games to go in that, 3 points clear. 7 better goal difference. Leeds are going up. Leeds are going up. That's good news, isn't it?
It is. And the newly English Matteo Joseph scoring goals in that.
Where did we sign him from?
I can't remember which club it was now. But yeah, he was Spanish still recently, but he's just been called up for England under 20s. Because he's got an English dad.
He's related to Emil Heskey.
Anyone who's related to Emil Heskey is actually eligible to play for England.
Is that true?
I believe that's a
Is it in the rule book?
It's in the FIFA rule book.
Right.
It's very small print.
Which number clause is that?
However distant you are on the Heskey family tree, you can play for England.
Rule number?
The Heskey clause, I think it's just called. It's got a number.
A separate appendix.
Yeah, it's got an NB bit at the end.
Right. Women are playing league games finally after having loads of them postponed due to the Cup. They're winning them, that's good. 2-0 win over York last week. Beat Bradford as well. Did try and lead it in.
Yeah, just to keep it interesting. Okay. It's boring, isn't it, winning 3-0?
Rick Passmore basically said they got tired and silly at the end of that game. I think it was fatigued and silly errors or something. But yeah, tired and silly. But Jess...
Sounds like a good night out.
Jess Russo, the new January signing, is banging them in. She was scoring lots of goals for Lincoln in the first half of the season, then she joined Leeds, but she's had to be a bit patient because she's been cup tied and all Leeds have been doing is playing cup fixtures. But she's finally getting the chance to play and she's scoring lots of goals. And Flora is writing about it on our blog and she knows what she's talking about. So go read those.
And you're going to be speaking to Olivia Smart tomorrow. So Olivia is the Leeds women's... She's still playing left back.
I believe
she's
so,
a righty at left back, isn't she? 300 games she's accrued for Leeds United women recently. She's gone past that mark, so congratulations. Likes to get involved, likes to swear, mm-hmm. which is why we sponsored her primarily. but she's coming in, going to have a chat, and we're going to be previewing towards the weekend. Stourbridge, the plate final is on Sunday. Chance for the Leeds women to lift a trophy. So that's going to be on your feed in the next few days as well. And yeah, and the chat with Olivia is going to be over on the Extra Ball as well for members. So look out for that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Part three of the show has been moved to part two this week, which is all very confusing because there's no preview, because there's no game. So we're doing heroes and villains right now then. And first of all, the Ken Bates Villain of the Week award. Oh, Michael's playing something off his laptop. What happened there, Michael?
Professional negligence, is that?
Yeah, sorry about that. He's the Burnley man that we sometimes watch popped up. Someone had tagged me in something on YouTube. I don't know what it's about. I'll have a look at it later.
So just this is how professional we are within this organisation.
There might have been some important news that needed checking on.
Well, where me and Rob are dedicating ourselves speaking to you, Michael's just on YouTube watching cat videos or whatever. The Ken Bates Villain of the Week. Or Ken surfaced, doesn't he, this week?
Has he ever? It's a 3-hour extravaganza, apparently.
Yes, it's on some sort of Chelsea podcast, isn't it? Which we're going to, I think what we're going to do is, so you don't have to sit through it, we're going to make Michael do that.
Yeah.
And pull out the best bits, and we'll maybe propaganda it in a future week.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
it could even because be it's an episode of its own.
Because it's a Chelsea podcast, I don't imagine there's much Leeds in it, but there will be some Ken stuff. So I'll just try and find the bits where he's talking about Arabs.
Right.
When you said it was 3 hours long, I thought he'd be on the Joe Rogan show or something.
Can you imagine?
Talking about having ayahuasca or something.
But like when I edit this, you can shrink the silences down. So if there's any long pauses, it shrinks them all down.
I'll give it a pass, actually, for Ken.
I do wonder if they've not bothered doing that with Ken, and you know, 2 of those 3 hours are just Ken's thinking time.
Yeah. But we'll see, won't we? He's always got something to say, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got opinions as Ken.
Yes, opinions with a capital O. This is his award anyway, Villain of the Week. People have annoyed us, basically, in the last 7 days. We have resurrected Moscow's Book of Petty Grievances. We don't have the book, we don't have Moscow, but we can still add petty grievances to this weighty tome. Who are we putting in for the petty grievances this week?
Career White's Josh nominating Gareth Southgate for not putting Jack Harrison or Luke Hayley in the England squad, which I agree with. If I was England manager, it's one of those things that if you like playing football manager or whatever, and you get the England job and you just put all your favourite players, all your Leeds players in. But it was only a couple of years ago, it was the end of that first season in the Premier League, there was talk of Hayley, wasn't there? Sort of been on the fringes of the England squad. That would have been amazing, quite frankly.
Well, as far as I can see, Connor Cody mainly gets in for being a vibes man.
Mm.
And he's not half as nice as Luke Hayley.
Do you think Hayley would be a bit much?
No, he'd be great in there.
No, he's old now in footballer terms, is Luke Hayley. He's mature, isn't he? In the sense, not as in old men in this podcast terms.
No,
but,
God no.
But within the football sphere.
How did you feel about that, by the way? As being lumped in with one of the four old men?
Which was the start of the propaganda episode. We played the clip out. It was some Wolves child on its TikTok channel or something, described us as four old men on a Leeds podcast.
I mean, I must admit, I think you often overplay how young I actually am, but yeah.
But you are 20, 29 now, you just turned?
29, yeah.
Rob, I wish I was 29.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Although you're older than I was when we started doing this.
God, really? Weird, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, I do think I've probably been spending too much time. You miserable bastards.
Sun's out today. Should we go outside?
Stuart Rain this afternoon.
Get some vitamin D in. Johnny Thrash wants to nominate Junior Firpo for making him lose his voice because he shouted so loud at the glorious bastard.
That was in the Southampton game.
After he scored,
And it's made everyone think he's got COVID, so no one wants to go near him, which is not really fair on Junior, is it? Keep scoring, I would say.
Just enjoying his renaissance as well. So it is only a petty grievance. Can't go in the actual... genuine candidates column for this award. No Leeds nominations at all this week in the genuine candidates at all. None. Zero.
Wow.
That's the beauty of winning it. I do like when we're just nice to our own footballers. Mm. Like, I don't want to tear my hair out at Rasmus Christensen or Rodrigo. I like enjoying them.
A few people did slag off Rocker in the comments, didn't they? But I think he managed to avoid villain nominations.
I mean, for God's sake, we won, didn't we? So
fine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fine. So Wolves got nominated by Wedge, the players, the staff, the fans, the stadium, and the animals.
Yeah, so all the animals as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sick of them, right? They're always in our bins, the old Wolves.
They've reintroduced them to Bradford, haven't they?
Yeah. I'm not sure they ever went away.
try and keep the population down. Yeah. Just made it a bit more interesting.
They're on about building a big wall right around the city as well.
Yeah, it's for the best.
Letting some Wolves loose in it. Lopetegui, Johnny, Wolves fans, as an extension of Wolves in general, all nominated from that perspective. And also we've got, are we calling him Wolves? He's not technically Wolves. He falls outside the bracket of Wolves.
David Phillips. He's definitely Wolves. Did you hear his commentary?
No, I mean, he was biased towards Wolves, but I don't necessarily think we can lump him in as part of the Wolves contingent. Can we?
He did say we, didn't he? Like, we didn't get the penalty or something.
Yeah, you're right.
I think he was talking from the point of view of what they would be saying to the referee.
I don't believe you.
But it was fairly clear where he was heading with that commentary.
I mean, I don't think we can read out the actual comment, but I do like the name David Phillips sniffs dirty knickers.
May or may not be true.
No, I think it's probably definitely not true.
Okay. Yeah. How do you know?
Well, I mean, it sounds like you could really damage someone's reputation by making that sort of accusation about them. So we don't want to do that, do we?
What's wrong with sniffing dirty knickers?
You tell me what's right about it.
Is that the next line of merch we sell?
Hey, people do that, don't they? If anyone wants my pod worn pants, do get in touch.
You don't normally wear them.
That's true. Pod one jeans. I've got them.
You don't normally wear them.
Yeah, etc.
Yeah. Lopetegui.
Socks too. We'll do socks.
Yeah, let's quickly move it on. Lopetegui, or as Dom calls him, Julen Lopetegui. Tia, as in Christ.
Just about works, doesn't it?
No, not really.
Yeah, but she never thought I'd dislike a Wolves manager as much as the last bloke. But he was a disgrace with his VAR signalling, his crying and complaining.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, we would have snapped their arm off if we'd have got Lopetegui. Like, if we'd have replaced Marsh with Lopetegui during like the World Cup break or whatever, you'd have gone, yes!
Mind you, if they'd replaced him with his polo shirt alone, his polo neck alone, I might have gone, ah, it's fine.
You've got real misgivings about that, haven't you?
But his jumper?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit weird.
I agree with you on this. And I'm not really sure why, but it was like when that guy Southampton fired Ruben Selles wore a turtleneck. I was like, come on, mate, who do you think you are? You can't be doing that.
are they all trying to look like Ten Hag, do you think?
Yeah, probably. There's a lesson in that, actually.
What's that?
Wear a turtleneck, get beaten.
Right.
He's got 100% record against turtlenecks, hasn't he? Think of it that way. Makes you think.
You don't get that start, do you, usually?
Or, part of the conspiracy, is it to hide the join because he's a robot?
Wow.
Sent to relegate Wolves.
Makes you think.
Could be.
Well, Johnny is doing
this. He was probably, because of the rain, he was malfunctioning. Which is why he ended up by a monitor watching Johnny try to break Luke Ayling's leg, shouting he got the ball, apparently. Which he should have been sent off for that. You can't go over and shout at a referee watching a foul, which he apparently did.
Are you advocating for more red cards?
For him, yes.
Right. Good. Johnny, now, God, my brain's just sort of made a short circuit between Lopetegui, robot, Johnny.
25.
Number Johnny 5 from
Short Circuit.
From Short Circuit. And the VAR monitor.
All come together.
Johnny is mentioned by a couple of people. Sean, Bay Area Brandon, not having him.
Yeah, unintentional but dangerous. Glad the Bill was okay though. Plus he scored so I can fuck off, which is also true. Because it was quite good because that's going to be completely lost because all the Wolves fans were furious about him still, even though he scored a really nice goal.
It was a good finish.
And also he deserves a nomination as well for he was the one complaining when Rasmus scored as well. I know we were saying after the Ayling goal, several of their players seem to be wanting a free kick for something. They were all moaning about it. When Rasmus got the ball off him, he turns to the linesman as well and he's going, just...
Yeah, if he tackled me.
He's been too rough there. He was stood really close. And it went through my legs, so just disallow it, please.
He's only just come on, ref. I didn't know he was there.
That's not fair.
I won't watch it.
Anyway.
So he gets there.
And Dave Phillips is mentioned as well, which we are definitely lumping in with Wolves. Based on the number of nominations, he should be favourite for this award. Is there a case you can make for anybody but him?
Chelsea and Spurs get a nomination.
Are these are the
non-Wolvesy ones.
Yeah.
A couple of extras down the bottom there. Because they did let us down a bit. I mean, Spurs, come on. You've got to hold on to that.
Yeah, but Conte's rant was quite funny at the same time.
Yeah.
I just like how everyone's really surprised at it. It's like, have you not seen this guy before?
This is what happens.
Yeah.
It's not often his fault, is it, Conte?
No.
That's one thing you will say. He tends to just get annoyed at other people.
Out of the other nominations, I mean, what's Ryan himself done?
Because he had a meltdown. Let me read this. Myself. It never got mentioned on the show, but this is his own feedback.
Right.
I had a meltdown 2 weeks ago and lamented in this very feedback that we hadn't signed someone like Craig Dawson and how wrong I was. He's fucking gash and got hooked at half time to save him. So maybe Arthur does have some sort of clue.
He doesn't. He puts in brackets. We're all being nice this week. We're all healing. We're all friends, hands across the aisle and all that. Who's having it? It's Phillips, isn't it?
It's going to be Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally I would put him in petty grievances.
Yeah, but he mentioned the penalty a dozen times.
Yeah, and I was going to say he ruined my enjoyment of what was an otherwise relaxing day.
And also, I think I know the Wolves fans in the stadium weren't pleased with the referee, but for anyone watching on the radio, as we were, he's radicalised a lot of Wolves fans there into believing these conspiracy theories by mentioning it,
radicalised.
By constantly bringing it up. Just in their ear going, that was a penalty though, wasn't it? Think about that. I know Luke Ayling's just gone fine, but what about that penalty, eh? What about that penalty? Why don't you pay to come to my seminar about penalties and I'll subscribe to my Patreon.
Right, Dave Phillips it is then. Congratulations, Dave. Well done. Lead-hating bastard. Player of the year, where are we then with this? So we are getting our TSB Plus members to give us scores out of 10 for all the players across the course of the season and then tracking it, and we will, in the end, award somebody with player of the season at the minute.
Hopefully Willy Nonto, because we've decided he's the most likely to turn up.
Yes. Well, Willy Nonto is leading the player of the year thing. So we got 7.9 in this, but he wasn't the top scorer. He was outscored by Jackie with over 8. Javi got even higher than Jackie, and Max Verber was your man of the match.
Wobber. Please call him Wobber.
Max Wobber at 8.2 out of 10. Paul Brendan bringing up the rear, Mark Rocker, Weston McKennie, which goes to show, doesn't it? As you mentioned, I think it was on Propaganda, Michael, that the midfielders are kind of not that great in this particular game.
I mean, the Dawson mentioned we got Wobber instead, didn't we? And good. Really good player.
It's one of those with Craig Dawson where I didn't actually know he played for Wolves until we played against him. It's like, right, he's there, is he?
He was one of those people you always saw doing quite well for West Ham, but you kind of imagine no one would ever buy him. Because they'd be like, well, it's Dawson, isn't it? Not gonna spend actual money on him. If he's already there.
Generic English football.
If he's already there, he's kind of useful to have, but not going to pay money for him.
One thing to note is that Christensen got his best score of the season by a massive margin of 0.01.
But his previous best was Chelsea at home, which was a complete aberration on the scores because everyone did brilliantly. I think Marsh got like 9.6 or something ridiculous on there. Everyone got a really good score because we beat Chelsea 3-0, which is fair enough.
Mm. Rasmus got 7.4 in this one. On to the player of the year. Out in front is Willy. He's the only one with an average over 7.15. Javi doing well, 6.98. Verber,
not a player, so he can't win it, but no. Interesting to see him in there.
Verber now in second place, players-wise. Tyler Melier. Matthias Klick, because his average has now been baked in. He's going to be forever hovering around that, which means that he's unlikely to win it. But it would be funny if he did. But it would also probably mean we have to go down in order for that to happen.
Yeah, I've been hoping for that for a few months. And then he thought, it's probably best he doesn't. But he's in the top five. So I think that's a good end to the season for him.
Gaetano Berardi, Hero of the Week. Somebody who has made us happy this week. Loads of nominations for Leeds candidates. So they are, in no particular order, Wobber, Ayling, Nonto, Jackie, Rodrigo, Melier, Jackie again.
Sorry about that.
Well done, Michael. Too busy on YouTube watching cat videos. And Javi as well gets a mention. So of your Leeds candidates, any thread you'd like to pull on?
I mean, Ayling did get the most nominations just because everyone loves him.
Is that born out of sentiment? Because Wobber's got man of the match.
Who cares? What is football without sentiment?
This is true. Do you consider yourself a sentimental old fool?
With football, yeah. Because if you just wanted to watch the best team, you'd just support Man City, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I do like it when you see like fans on Twitter, like, you can't be sentimental in football. You think, well, Why are you a fan?
you're kind of bit, like, not to the extent that he's still there in another 10 years' time.
I disagree. I actually said through the week that I would constantly play him at right back until the day he dies, because I love him so much.
Jake from Florida captures it quite well. He says, it's got to be Luke Ayling. Whenever football seems stressful and makes me sad, Bill reminds me it's just a game. He brings me joy. He's a Leeds legend. And it is just a game.
It is.
Stupid.
It is. But to see his face, there's a great photo, by the way. Is it on the match report on the website?
Yes.
That was captured, and it's basically an extreme close-up of Bill's face, sort of just looking joyous and slightly alarmed by the away end after he scored. Beautiful picture, well worth checking out. Have a look at the squareball.net. But yeah, the combination of the goal, the repeated celebration, just the look on his face, the look on his bloody beautiful face.
I think that's the thing with football, because it does often seem really serious, and some really good players seem like they never get any enjoyment out of it. Cristiano Ronaldo never struck me as someone who actually particularly enjoys football for the majority of the time.
Like, he's going to be hating every minute of being in Saudi Arabia, but hating the fact that he needs it to stat pad his way to the highest scorer ever or whatever, isn't he? Completely chewing.
Scored a free
inside.
Kick this past week.
Did you see that? It was a three-man wall, wasn't it? That jumped
straight
out of the
through
way.
The wall and then straight through the goalkeeper.
How does he do it
like a Champions League winner.
Did you see the fans singing Messi's name at him? And he had a bit of a strop. It was really funny.
That's so funny. The fact that somebody can be so thin-skinned is great.
Yeah, he is really miserable out there, just collecting his massive wage, and he's still just rotten to the core.
I think on the Bill Ayling thing, actually, because it's, I think with Ayling, you kind of construct a story around him. You think, well, is this happy because his career looked like it was probably not going anywhere for a bit. He was at Yeovil for ages. He was at Bristol kind of doing all right. Never probably thought he'd be a Premier League footballer. He's still doing brilliantly. But then at the other end of it, young footballers often seem a bit like, you know, I was born into this. I was always going to be good. Then you get Willy Nonto, who is a teenager still, looking just as enthusiastic behind Ayling. And you love him just as much because you're like, look, he's just loving playing football.
Well, it's quite telling that the nominations have all centered around not just Willie's football ability, but it's all about how much he enjoyed it. Like the big grin with Gracia when we scored the third or fourth, says Josh, not sure which goal it was. And Grant Bacon saying that he enjoyed his tunnel celebration a la Alioski. So it's not just the footballing stuff, it's the people, isn't it?
Yeah, we just need more fun people in the team.
Holly did enjoy Rodrigo's giddy childlike celebrations as well.
Yep, perfect again. And Dom saying, if he stays fit, we'll be fine. Which is probably about true. Because I'd probably get back him to get another few goals this year.
Playing terribly, scoring all those goals.
Rubbish.
And I like Will Train's comment about Gracia as well. Three goals from out wide and a goal from a corner. Eat my goal! That is Partridge, isn't it?
That is.
On the day-to-day. Non-playing Leeds candidates, rather. Jaden, who you've done the article about on the blog, Rob.
The Malibu man.
The Malibu man who, if you missed it, surely you didn't. Jaden is the one who was at the very front of the Leeds away end at Wolves. The ball went out. He realised it was in his possession. He realised, I should run the clock down here, and then just let go of the ball by his feet and then retreated with his arms in a, I'm innocent, hands up cops kind of a way, just trotted off sideways like a crab.
His facial expression never changed throughout all of that, which I really admired. And then he had Wolves stewards screaming at him for 20 minutes as he described it, saying, that's why I'm late to go down, play for an itch.
It's beautiful because there's kind of a, if you look at what he did, there's a moment where he's going, I'm going to get in trouble for this, although there are no consequences. I'm not doing anything illegal.
But I'm not going to get a ban, am I?
Yeah. It's like the sort of, you can see the computation going on in his head as he walks away with his arms up by his side like that. Like, nothing, wasn't me, sir.
I really liked the way he described it because he did sound like a professional footballer talking about like game management. He's like, I saw the ball coming to me and I thought, no, we need to kill some time. But they're wanting a quick throw in here. We're up against it. But well done, Jaden. And there's also a couple of stories from him in that blog post about how he got the Malibu man moniker from Phil Hay because he was trying to force drinking Malibu at 10 a.m. on a train to Norwich.
It's Buckfast, isn't it? Always, if you take an emergency bottle of Buckfast with you, Phil will be right on it.
Yeah, here's me thinking he was just being professional on his way to work.
If you have it anywhere on a train, he'll find it.
Yeah,
he can sniff it out. It's like a Labrador,
like one of those drug dogs, but the reverse of that.
Yeah, because
he wants it.
Yeah, the drug dogs don't say the drugs, do they?
No.
At the end.
Just find them.
Could be a treat from at the end.
You're very enthusiastic today there, Rover.
Chatting away endlessly.
And on the train adventures, Jaden also spoke about Ben Parker stealing his kebab on the way home from Forest the other month. And Jaden's words were, fucking hell, it's my kebab, I wanted that.
In terms of non-Leeds candidates then, anybody you want to pick out of the 18th of March, Michael Salisbury, Traore, Fulham, and the magic five-year-old.
Yeah, House of Stoats nominates Traore for having the strength of 1,000 men, but the balance of a drunk parent who's just stepped on Lego, which I quite enjoyed.
Very, very good. 18th of March, for obvious reasons, is now becoming Bill Ayling's Slaughtering Wolves Day.
Yeah, Marvin nominates Fulham, which what kind of was funny. He covers it. He says, "For giving me such a good chuckle, even though it's scum." Because having witnessed the Wolves meltdown, Fulham went one up on it, didn't they? Because, I mean, it was a penalty, wasn't it? As much as I don't want to give scum penalties.
I think it was Neil Redfern tweeted something like, "Oh, shall we just give scum the cup now, shall we?"
What's handball?
Yeah, he
has kind of handballed it as on its way into the net. So yeah, you've got to give them.
The only way I would have been happy with that happening is if that was the goalkeeper putting his hand out, because that's allowed, isn't it? Under the laws of the game.
But it means we're almost certainly not going to be playing Mitrovic when we face Fulham.
What do you think of that in terms of the ban? Do you think he should have a long, long ban? Or do you think he should be brought back just after we've played him?
Yeah, that... I mean, whatever. Four games, I think it is, would seem banned for... I'd let him play while his appeal goes through for 3 games, say.
Yeah.
And then ban him for a game, and then they'd call it a day.
Mm. I mean, I was thinking maybe... Is a lifetime ban too long? Should we say a year, just retrospectively, for smashing Ben White's face in, even though Ben White isn't ours anymore, and therefore we can't love him like we used to?
I'd say he's free to smash Ben White's face in now.
Morally speaking, I mean.
I mean, don't.
I mean, he's unlikely to, isn't he? Because he won't be playing, but he was a knobhead, didn't he, Mitrovic? That's always been his problem.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Short fuse. Michael Salisbury does deserve commending for his excellent handling of the game.
Mm.
Although he did miss things, didn't he? Like, I'm sure he should have sent off what's-his-face who got taken off at half-time, Dawson, for trying to break Jackie.
Yeah, I mean, Yankee Doodle Batley does still refer to him as the dickhead ref.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, I think. But yeah, for telling the twats at Stockley Park that they're twats. Which, yeah.
Right. So yeah, it actually helped to put David Coote back in his box, didn't he? Yeah. Fair enough. Any more, Ben, before we give the award? Who's the magic five-year-old?
Boney M's nominated his own. He thinks he's created a magic child.
Right.
He says, "We're watching the game on the radio and she kept whinging. To get her to stop, I said she could have a chocolate if Leeds score." 20 seconds later, Ayling nods in. "What the fuck, we don't score from corners. This happened 2 more times. I now owe her £50 and a new Barbie." Totally worth it.
I love it. It's just kind of, you got to that point where it's like when you start out with your kid, like, "I'm not going to feed him chicken nuggets. I'm going to cook them whole. Whole Foods every day."
Yeah.
By the time they're 18 months old, it's Macca's every weekend. Easy, innit?
It's dead hard, innit?
What parenting?
Yeah.
Hard work.
Yeah, it's really difficult. For so little thanks, that's what, in the way of thanks.
Yeah. Have you also ever thanked you at the end of 8 years? Nine?
Nine.
Yeah.
Ish. I know Angus Kinnear feels. No one ever says thank you. people just get cross with you. I suppose the chicken nuggets are the equivalent of a dirty toilet. In the cop, I don't know. You get stuff that's not good for you in the end, as a result of your moaning.
You got there in the end. Well done. If it's a magic five-year-old, get him off to Hogwarts. That's all we can say. Get him off to Hogwarts. Who's your winner?
I'd go Jaden because he's my mate. But you know,
we didn't even talk about Wobber.
Mm.
He was top of the list. He was like, well, up at the top of the list with Ayling because he was good, wasn't he?
But yeah,
kind of boring to just say he was good. But yeah, he just did loads of defensive stuff well. He's very proactive as a defender, isn't he? Like, he seems to always be the one going for stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it feels a bit like when everyone's standing off, he just is always the one throwing himself in there and trying to get in front of the man to get the ball off him and stuff. I don't know, it feels like we don't have a defender quite like him. Cooper does it to an extent, but sometimes fouls people.
I've made my phone and also my computer, if I type the word Wobber now, I've told it to autocorrect. I've told it to put the umlaut in over the O. So if I type Wobber, it automatically adds him in. That's how much I care for him and respect him. Wow. But I saw there's a good thread about him on Wacko. I think somebody described him as looking like a supermarket manager.
Mm.
You can imagine him walking around Lidl with a clipboard. He's got that kind of air about him.
Yeah, he's a very ordinary looking man, isn't he? Mm. But I like that about him. Yeah.
He looks a lot like Paul Dano, doesn't he? The actor.
Oh, I don't know, actually. I'll have to look at that.
I don't know who that is. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the same sentimental value as Ayling, does it?
No, not really.
So is it Ayling on sentimental value and smiles, or Wobber on being good at his job?
Give it to Ayling.
Yeah.
His time's ticking down at Leeds, isn't it?
No. Rob's giving him another 10-year contract.
Yeah. Even if he wants to retire, I'm still picking him.
Well, so. you're allowed overage players in the under-23s, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, just scum do that, don't they? They'll get like someone who's lost all respect for themselves should just play for the under 21s. Is it Paul McShane that did it?
Are you suggesting we shame him when he's in the last stage?
I don't think it's a shame, though. I think Ayling's a role model, so I think they need to learn from someone like that.
Yeah.
It's Luke Ayling, isn't it?
Yeah. Give us a bill.
It reminded me of a happier time as well when he scored that and went off dancing off and celebrating. It was lovely, wasn't it? It was a
happier time a year ago.
I was thinking more sort of the years that preceded that.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. But it's Luke Ayling, lovely. He's our Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week. Oh, bless him.
He did have some nominations too for his interview he'd done during the week as well, which was also nice. But it's all part of the Bill experience, is that, isn't it? That you get to feel. You get all the feels, the happy feels, the sad feels, but mainly you get the feeling Ayling's just enjoying himself, which is all any of us want.
And that's what all of us have had this week. Long may it continue.
And no games for a minute this weekend either, so we can take this, we can just roll this feeling on. So Arsenal give us a right good pasting.
If we lose to Arsenal, and we hate everything again.
Exactly.
Right, that wraps it up for this week. We've got more stuff on the way, including the Leeds Women's Plate final preview that's coming up. Check out the Extra Ball this week as well when we chat to Olivia from the Leeds Women, our sponsored player, and we've got some more stuff on the way too. Look out for it. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.